Amen. Amen. This morning we're continuing our series. We're continuing our series on resurrection stories. Continuing to look at our series this morning as we talk through these stories of individuals and what happened to them, what transpired in their hearts, and how Jesus revealed himself to them after his resurrection. This morning we're going to look at some seekers this morning. I want to define what I mean this morning. I'm going to talk about seekers. What are we talking about? I want to define it as someone who believes, or at least wants to believe, but hasn't yet come to a full saving faith, a full saving faith in Christ Jesus. So it's someone who is seeking, who is open, but hasn't really come to that saving faith. I believe that there are a lot of folks who are seeking. There's a lot of folks who are seeking to understand. A lot of folks who are seeking to find purpose. A lot of folks who are seeking to find God. A lot of folks that are seeking, but they haven't yet fully placed their faith. They haven't yet fully placed their hope in Jesus. Another way to define it would be that someone who is open, but is still trying to figure out what it means to put their life into Christ Jesus. And so it's that definition this morning that I want us to look at as we look at a couple people who have been keeping up with Jesus' ministry, but weren't sure exactly who Jesus was or what Jesus came to do or what it meant that Jesus had died and they had heard that he was raised back to life. You've got your Bibles open. I'd encourage you to look with me in Luke chapter 24. We're going to be walking through this passage this morning. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. It says, "Now that same day two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, and which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place." So these two folks were on their way to a village. It's the road to Emmaus, right? It's about 7 miles journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they were talking about everything that had taken place. They were talking about everything they had seen in Jerusalem that day. They were talking about everything they had seen over the weekend, how Jesus had been crucified, and they were having a conversation about Jesus. They were having some conversations about Jesus. So many people believe Jesus is a great moral teacher. Many people believe Jesus is a great prophet. Many people believe Jesus is a great miracle worker. Many people believe that Jesus was a great model of sacrificial love. And so Jesus was all of those things. And so they were having this conversation as they were walking about everything they had seen, everything that had taken place. And so let's start here with this understanding that Jesus was a great moral teacher. Let's talk about that for a second. Jesus was a great moral teacher. The moral teaching of Jesus, took the history and the law of Judaism, and it even applied it more strictly. Jesus was a great moral teacher. Jesus would often say things like, "Well, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I say to you, if you hate someone in your heart, you're guilty of murder." He would say things like, "Well, you've heard it said you shouldn't commit or you shall not commit adultery, but if you look lustfully at a woman, you have already committed adultery with her in your heart." Jesus took the law and he applied it even more strictly. He took it from just behavior to heart. His moral teaching was even stricter than Moses and stricter than the law. His teaching upset those who were looking for loopholes to their own morality. Jesus still upsets folks who are looking for loopholes to their own morality. People who may want to be okay with God, but also want God to be okay with their sin. But Jesus was a perfect moral teacher. Example. He was the perfect moral teacher. So not only was Jesus a great moral prophet or a great moral teacher. Jesus is also a great prophet. He was a prophet. The prophecy of Jesus, the preaching of Jesus, was one of repentance. You guys know what repentance means. It literally means to turn, if you're going one direction, to literally turn and go the other direction. Jesus was a preacher of repentance. He was a preacher, a prophet of self-denial. Pastor Robert talked about it this morning in our first service, of taking up the cross and following Jesus. He was a prophet of self-denial, a prophet of judgment for the self-righteous, and a prophet of mercy for the poor in spirit. He would prophesy that he would destroy the temple, something that made them very angry, and he would prophesy that he would then rebuild it in 3 days, and they called him a blasphemer for his prophecy, but Jesus was talking about himself. Jesus was saying, I am the temple. I am the temple, and I, when I rebuild it, I have rebuilt the temple. Amen. I'm not looking for another temple. I'm looking for Jesus. Anybody with me? His reading of the prophet Isaiah, that he was the anointed one, was very exciting for the weak and the downtrodden and the oppressed, but it was very enraging to the powerful and those in charge. His prophecy that he will one day return on the clouds, and every eye will see him. When he returns on the clouds with the angels, it caused hope for the hopeless, but it brought fear to the disobedient. See, but Jesus was more than just a great moral teacher and more than just a great prophet. He was the Messiah. He was the one that the prophets prophesied about, this Jesus. Jesus was also a miracle worker. So I'm sure that on their road to Emmaus, they were talking about how these miracles that Jesus did, that he was a miracle worker. He did amazing miracles. He said, if my teaching won't convince you that I'm the Messiah from heaven, then maybe you'll be convinced by the miracles I perform. Maybe you'll be convinced. Maybe you'll want to listen to me even more because of the miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did financial miracles. He performed miracles over nature like walking on water or feeding over 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He would calm storms. He cast out demons. He did them so that people would listen to him. He was a miracle worker, and he still works miracles. Jesus was also a great model of sacrificial love. Jesus didn't just teach to turn the other cheek. Jesus turned the other cheek. Jesus practiced what he preached. Jesus lived out what he talked about. He was a model of sacrificial love. He carried his cross. And those who would crucify him, he looked at them and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's the kind of sacrificial love that our Savior had. He died. He offered himself as a sacrifice. It was death by love. He loved us to death. He understood the sacrifice. He told the disciples that he was the sacrifice and that his death would institute a new covenant between God and humanity. Jesus died to institute a new covenant, to make us right with God. He was a sacrificial love. Amen. Sometimes folks will say that they believe that Jesus was a great moral teacher. Or they'll say that he was a great prophet. Or he was a miracle worker. Or that he was a model of sacrificial love. But we don't often understand the fullness of what that means. Jesus wouldn't be, Jesus couldn't be all of those things unless he was who he said he was. C.S. Lewis presents this question. He says that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. Those are the only options. That Jesus was a liar. He knew that he wasn't the Lord, but he lied about it, and he lived a lie. Or he was a lunatic. And what does he mean by that when C.S. Lewis says that? He means that Jesus wasn't God, but he really believed he was. He had these delusions of grandeur and believed he was God when he wasn't. Or he is the Lord. And he was who he said he was. He wasn't a liar. He wasn't a lunatic. He is the Lord. C.S. Lewis presents us with that trifecta of options. And I really think it's a great model to understand. You have to decide who Jesus is. As you are seeking God, you have to decide who is Jesus. He is either a liar, or he is a lunatic, or he is the Lord. And what will I do with that information? See, he said he was fully God. And if it's only seeing Jesus as God, does any of his moral teachings, do any of his prophecies, does any of his miracle working, and does his sacrificial love make any sense? Only if Jesus is who he said he is, why would I want to follow the moral example of a man who was a liar? Why would I want to follow the moral example of a man who was just full of delusions of grandeur? Why would I want to follow a man that claimed these things if he wasn't who he claimed to be? We have to decide. So these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were conversing and they were trying to make sense of Jesus. They were talking about his moral teaching. They were talking about his prophetic speech. They were talking about his miracle working. They were talking about his sacrifice. Here's what we know in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. You got your Bibles open. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb. That was Mary and Martha and these other women, bringing spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of our Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes, so the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.' And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11. That's Mary and the women. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. So they run from the tomb, they head back to tell the men. But these words in verse 11 seemed like nonsense to these men, and they did not believe the women. And we're still not listening to women to this day. And they always tell the truth. Peter, however, I'm just the prophet. Peter, however, I mean, y'all realize the first witnesses and the first evangelists of the resurrection were women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and when he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloth. So he went away amazed at what had happened. Now, the same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together, they were discussing everything that had taken place. So now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? These two folks were trying to make sense of the day's events. What were those events? Mary had and the women had been to the tomb. They'd seen angels. They'd seen an empty tomb. They conversed with an angel. They'd ran back and told the disciples, and the disciples thought that they were lying. They thought they were making it up. It just seemed like nonsense. So Peter runs to the tomb, and the stone guarding the tomb is gone, and the Roman guards are gone, and he goes in and he sees the linen clothes and the burial clothes of Jesus folded, and there's no body. And Peter goes home marveling. And so these two seekers on the road to Emmaus were talking about all this. They'd heard the story from Mary, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, from Peter, from John. They are amazed. Verse 13 says they were talking about all the things that had happened. Can you believe everything that happened? They were trying to make sense of it all. They didn't understand it. They saw it. They heard it. They wanted to believe, but it didn't make sense. They were seekers. They were longing, and they were trying to make sense of it, but they believed, but they didn't fully believe. They wanted to believe, but they didn't fully understand. So they were searching for answers about this Jesus, but they weren't sure of what to make of him. Now, this is what they said. Okay, does any of this make sense? They're talking to each other. Verse 15 of Luke 24 says, and while they were discussing and arguing, they were going back and forth trying to figure this thing out. Jesus himself came near and began to walk along with them. It says, but they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is your dispute that you're having with each other as you're walking? Obviously, they were really getting into this conversation. It was obvious that they were trying to figure this out. And what do you mean he's alive? You're crazy. No, you're crazy. No. They were really getting into it. What is this dispute you're having with each other as you're walking? And they stopped walking and they looked discouraged. The one named Cleopas answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happen there in these days? What things? Says Jesus. He asked them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping, this is why they sounded discouraged, but we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb, and when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. They were discouraged. We thought, we hoped this was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel. We hoped. They don't even realize they're talking to Jesus. They don't even realize that Jesus has shown up. Jesus shows up. These two seekers were longing to know more about Jesus, longing to understand what was going on. And Jesus just appears and begins talking to them. They didn't recognize him, but Jesus shows up. They didn't recognize him, but Jesus shows up. He's there with them. He's guiding their conversation. They don't even realize he's doing it. But he's guiding their seeking. They don't even realize it, but he's doing it. He's leading them closer to himself. They don't even realize it, but he's doing it. Listen, seeker. If you're in this house this morning and you're a seeker, you want to believe, you've wrestled with Jesus, you've wrestled with the question of Jesus, you like Jesus as a moral teacher, you think that's really cool, you like that he's a sacrificial love, you think that's awesome, but you're not sure that you can trust him to be your Lord, I want you to hear this. He is leading you, he is guiding you, he is walking with you, he is beside you, he is guiding your conversation, he is leading you closer to himself. He's walking with you. You don't even realize it, but it's Jesus trying to convince you that there is hope. Amen. He nudges your heart. He whispers into your ear. He tugs on your spirit. Every time he does, he's leading you closer home. Leading you closer to himself. Jesus has joined in your conversation because he wants you to know him. You may not even recognize that it's him. You may not even recognize that it's him, but he's calling you. You had hoped. Maybe there's things in your life you had hoped for. And you thought, well, it's too late. That's what the two folks on the road to Emmaus thought. It's too late. We had hoped. It's not too late, church. It's not too late. He is calling you to hope. He is calling you to peace. He is calling you to grace. He is calling you to mercy. He is calling you to forgiveness. He is calling you to reconciliation. He is calling you to follow him. He is calling you to life and that life more abundant. He is calling you. He's walking even this morning. There's some in this room. He has come near. He has come close. He is walking beside you even now. He is calling you. He is walking and he is leading this conversation this morning because he wants you to walk with him to the kingdom. What do we know about these travelers? What do we know about them? We don't know a whole lot. We know that they were followers of Jesus. We know that they hoped that he would be their deliverer. We know that one of them was named Cleopas. What's so really cool about that name, Cleopas, is what it means. It means the glory of the Father, or the glory of God. The glory of the Father. Check this out in Luke 24, verse 25. The glory of the Father. It says, he said to them, Jesus, how foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. Luke wrote this. Luke gets this. When he writes this, he gets this. Jesus is like he's like Cleopas. If you want to see the glory of the Father, if you want to see the glory of the Father, you have to believe in the Christ. If you want to see the glory of God, you have to believe in the Christ. That's the glory of the Father. If you want to see that, just like your name means, if you want to see it, you've got to believe in the Christ. The Christ had to suffer. The Christ had to suffer and enter the glory of God. The Christ suffered and was raised so that you, Cleopas, can enter into the glory of the Father. Jesus went through all the scripture and he preached about the Christ. That would have been the coolest walk to ever take. Amen. Like if there's one moment in scripture that I was like, dude, that would be like awesome to be there. To hear Jesus open up the Old Testament scriptures and say, this, here I am, and 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 even here. that conversation. So I'm sure that as he began to talk to them, I'm sure he talked about the bronze serpent that was on the pole that brought healing from the vipers when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. I'm sure he talked about the mercy seat. I'm sure he talked about about the stone tablets. And I'm sure he talked about the Passover lamb and the Day of Atonement and the scapegoat and the seed of Abraham. He said, that's me. I'm sure he talked about the eternal covenant that was made with David and that his throne would be an everlasting throne and his kingdom would never end. And Jesus was like, that's me. I'm the king whose kingdom never ends. That's me. I'm like the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness and it brought healing. That's me. I'm lifted up and I'm taking sin and I'm drawing people to myself. That's me. I'm greater than the law. That's me. I'm the eternal covenant. I'm sure he talked about all the typology and all the symbols and all the covenants and the prophecies and the poetry, and it all pointed to Jesus. And Jesus said, that's about the Christ. I'm sure he talked about all that, and I'm sure that I wish that I could have been there. Verse 28 of Luke 24 says, they came to the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over. So that he went in to stay with them. See, these two seekers, they did not want the conversation to end. They were learning more and more and more and more and more about Jesus. And they wanted to keep learning. When you start listening to Jesus, hear me. When you start listening to Jesus, when you begin to understand the fullness of the goodness of the person of Jesus, when you begin to let Jesus shape your perspectives, you want to know more, you want to hear more, you want to understand more, you want to be in his presence more, you want to know more, like the old song said, I want to know more about my Jesus, I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more. See, they still don't know that the person they're talking to is Jesus. They just know they want to keep hearing him talk about Jesus. They still didn't know. Remember Jesus, when he appeared and he walked with them, he made it where they wouldn't fully understand that it was him. They wouldn't be able to recognize him. And then here he says that he made them think he's going to keep walking. Jesus. He's going to do whatever he can do to pique our interest. Hold on, Jesus. Hold on now. I want to hear more. I want to know more. They still don't know they're talking to Jesus. They just know they want to know more about him. Verse 30. So they're inside the house. It was as he reclined at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but then he disappeared from their sight. Can you imagine? It's Jesus! Yes, it's Jesus! He's alive! Where'd he go? Where'd he go? They said to each other, weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us? That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered there who said, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he made known to them in the breaking of the bread. He broke the bread. He broke the bread. Jesus broke the bread. There's something about the way that he broke the bread. That when they saw Jesus, when they saw Jesus break the bread, their eyes were opened. There's something about the way it tore in his hands. There's something about the way he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. I think they probably remembered something they'd seen before. They had remembered him blessing the bread before. They had heard about this. There was something about the breaking of the bread. When he lifted up the bread, he tore it. They saw something that they hadn't seen yet. I believe part of what they saw, that revelation that they got of Jesus in that moment, as he tore it, they saw marks in his hands. They remembered the cross. They remembered the blood. They remembered the death. They remembered the table. The promise of a new covenant in Christ's blood. They remembered all that he had just revealed about himself, and it all clicked in that moment. This is Jesus. In the breaking of the bread, this is Jesus. This is the Christ. This is the promised one. This is the one who will redeem us. He is both Lord and God. Amen. Think about the joy for a moment. The amazement, the astonishment of seeing the nail-pierced hands of Jesus breaking the bread. They were seekers, full of questions, wanting to understand this Jesus. But when they saw him in the breaking, that's when they truly realized who he was. When they saw him in the breaking, that's when they understood he was the promised one. He was the one who was dead, but is now alive. When they saw him in the breaking, they recognized Jesus, and they went from seekers to tellers. Their heart burned within them. They had to run back and say, hey, we saw this Jesus, the one that you guys said, these stories that the women said, the story that Simon said at the tomb was, we saw him in the breaking of the bread. We recognized him. He told us everything about himself in the scriptures, and our hearts burned within us. Our hearts burned within us as he spoke. We just wanted to know more and more of this resurrected Christ. And then we realized in the breaking, this was him. They had to share all they had seen, all he had told them in the breaking. In the breaking. Many of us, in our seeking and our longing, it's when we see the broken Christ that we recognize he is the one I need. He is the one who understands. He is the one that bore my burdens. He is the one. When we see the broken Christ, we see the resurrected King. That gets me excited. Amen. When we see the broken Christ, we see the resurrected King. My question for you this morning is, have you gazed at the broken Christ? Have you sat at the table? Has He given you the bread? Have you seen the nail holes? The two started their journey full of questions, but they ended their journey with the one answer to all of their questions. The Lord has risen indeed. That's the answer. That's the answer. And here's what we see. Jesus still comes and walks with us in our questions. Jesus still comes to show us the glory of the Father. Jesus still shows Himself in the breaking of the bread. And He still ministers to us at the table. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for Your word this morning. I pray right now for folks who may be seeking, folks who may be questioning. I pray right now, God, for folks who You, and even in this moment, You have been revealing Yourself to them. And now they have an opportunity to believe. They have a choice to believe. It's in the breaking. It's in the breaking that our resurrection hope is found. In this room this morning, there may be some, and I believe that God is allowing me to preach this message this morning because He wants to come alongside somebody and bring them close. Bring them home. Save them. That You this morning, if you are in this house this morning, and you would say, Pastor Brock, I've been seeking, but I haven't put my faith in Jesus. But this morning, Jesus has revealed Himself, and I want to follow Him. I want to put my faith in Him, my saving faith, not just a knowing of Jesus, not just a belief in Jesus, but saving faith in Jesus. If that's you this morning, right where you're seated, would you just slip your hand up because I want to pray for you. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Is there anyone else this morning, right where you're at, you would say, I want to put my faith in Jesus to save me. Amen. This morning, as we do every week here at Real Life Community Church, we want to give you an opportunity to come to the table, to meet Jesus in the breaking. And if you raised your hand that you put your saving faith in Jesus, or even if you didn't, but you need prayer, you're invited to stay here. We're going to pray for you. But Jesus this morning is revealing Himself in the breaking. Because He wants you to know Him. Table in the back, tables in the front. You're welcome now to receive. Whether it's your first time here or you're a regular attender, the table is open for you to find Jesus in the breaking. Amen.